Hi, guys.
Hello.
Welcome to Ed Arlene's Spirit Cast. If you're new to this podcast, we talk about all things related to mindfulness, magic, astrology, tarot, Reiki, meditation, anything in that realm. Today's episode is another amazing episode with another fantastic guest. And she is a childhood friend, and she's been on the podcast before.
Yes. So. We were on a couple seasons ago, but her name's Sheila, also known as Anon Inculta. You can find her on almost all the social media accounts under Inculta Inc. But I think Instagram and like X are probably where you want to go. Facebook. She's a phenomenal artist. She has an art show coming up, which we cover in this episode.
October 13th
at the Red Fish Bowl Studio. If you are in the Pittsburgh area or want to come to an art show, come on down, hang out, catch a vibe.
Yeah, she's letting me have a painting in it.
Yeah, Edda's going to have a piece in the art show as well. So come down and hang out.
Yeah. So we're just going to, you know, get into the episode. Do you want to tell them where they can find us at?
You can follow us over on X, formerly known as Twitter, at edpro_pgh. We still do tweet a lot. You can follow us on Instagram, Tumblr, Facebook, TikTok, Threads, at @edarlene. You can go to our YouTube channel where we post Reiki infused videos multiple times a week. Go like and subscribe to get the juice. And you can go to our website, edarlene.com/Reiki. Sign up for our email list to get a free Reiki session on the first of every month.
All right, let's get into the episode.
All right, let's go.
We just want to take a quick moment to invite everyone listening to check out our shop at edarlene.com. If you like what we do, it is one of the easiest ways to support us. Plus, you will get our awesome handcrafted 100% vegan soy candles, our prints, books, oracle cards, and book a Reiki session. All this can be found at edarlene.com and linked in the show notes.
We're back with Sheila, also known as Anon Inculta. We had her on the show a couple years ago, and we're really excited to have her back on. So, say hi to the listeners.
Hello, hello. It is me again. I am back. It's good to be back. Like, I've missed, like, a lot of stuff has been going on. I'm looking forward to our chit-chat today. Yeah, like,
Well, we have Sheila on because she has an art show October 13th. So let's start talking about your art show, and then we'll go from there.
All right, sweet. This Friday, 13th, in October, come to the Fishbowl for an unsettled art show where we deal with monstrous emotions. Little lightning strike in the background.
Yay.
So your art show's on October 13th at the Redfish Bowl on Butler Street in Lawrenceville.
Correct.
Is it just free to the public?
I'm pretty sure it is. Like, okay. It is going to be a charity event. Because ideally, like, not only do we want to raise funds for ourselves, the Fish Bowl, I also want to raise funds for some local I believe they're nonprofits that are here as well, but local organizations that help people out. So one of those organizations is Planned Parenthood, and the other one is PAR, because like both of those do a lot of good service for the community. And one of the biggest facts is like trauma affects everyone, regardless of who you are, what your gender identity is, what your religion is, like, and both of these places do provide services of different types. PAR, for instance, does offer services for victims of sexual assault, for like counseling, because that's a traumatic event and people do need an opportunity to have a safe place to go to get actual help. And I want to contribute to that. Like, they need funds, so I figured, like, kick some coin to them as well, and
go from there. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
That's really sounds cool. Great. Yeah. So your show, it's dealing with monstrous emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you asking the artists?
So what I'm asking the artists is to take time to think about emotions that are uncomfortable for them. Because one of the biggest things that I want to remind people is that regardless of the emotion, it's not negative, it's not positive, it's not evil, it's not good, it's just an emotion. Your behavior and how you handle your emotions, that can have a good intent or evil intent, positive and negative consequences, but emotions themselves are just part of humans. Mm-hmm. And I started this actually as a way for myself to heal from emotional trauma and just deal with my own, like, monstrous emotions, because, like, I have a really hard time dealing with, like, for instance, like, love. Like, I show a lot of, like, love and affection for y'all because, like, I've known you for so long. Mm-hmm. But, like, growing up, I did have a very tumultuous household. And the love that I learned growing up, I realized as an adult, was actually very toxic and harmful. So, like, it wasn't until I started to force myself to take a step back, look at the emotion, and see what it is that is so uncomfortable for me, that is causing so much problems, and create a monster out of it. Because, like, in different forms of, I want to say demonology, like, the best way to fight a monster is to know what it is, its shape, its name. Because once you know that, then you can form a solid path to how to handle it, deal with it, overcome it in a healthy manner. So this was just a very much a way for me to tackle my own personal monsters. And also, like, I facts, full stop, full disclosure, this was heavily influenced by one of my favorite artists. Like, I draw a lot of inspiration from him as well, because he had done a book, I forget what it's the name of the book right now, but it's about mental health illnesses. And he depicts them as different monsters. And I drew a lot of inspiration of that. It's just, like, emotions can be monstrous as well. Because, like, I can think of all the things that I've done in love that were toxic, in hate that was toxic, in sorrow, grief, and all these different emotions. And I just want to give people another insight to say, like, hey, like, if you don't have an opportunity to go to a therapist that works with you, because that's an important one, like, you can get a therapist and then be completely trash. My first therapist that I went to was garbage. He criticized me about how I dressed, what I was into, and it just was really unhealthy for me as a person. But, like, if you can't find somebody professionally, either because of insurance or financial woes or just not having the access, turning to art can be a good way to get those emotions out and start handling them in a safe format. Be it drawing, be it painting, or writing, singing. Because one of the things that did happen was we had, during our call for artists, we had someone submit as a musician. And I didn't even think about that. It was just like, yeah, like, of course. Like, so hopefully if this goes well, we can do this again next year and bring in other varieties of artists. So, like, musicians, maybe performing.
So you see a person applied for music.
Yeah.
So you think you're going to do this again and have more...
Yeah, more options for artists to...
For their creative expression.
Yeah. Because, like, I definitely got to remind folks that, like, the flyers are not the format. You don't have to stick with the flyers. I forget what the format is because everything's just been busy. Yeah, just, like, a good way to get our feelings out. Because at the end of the day, emotions are meant to be expressed. Like, it's part of us, it's part of being human, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I'm looking forward to it. Ideally, the prompt is that artists are challenged to create either a scenery, landscape, dreamscape, some sort of portrait, be it self or other, or create a monster or a combination of all three. So it's a really broad scope. And I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what everybody does and how the show turns out. Because also this might be the first time some folks have actually sat down and thought, like, okay, like, what emotion makes me feel uncomfortable? Because I know I immediately think about hate. Like, that makes me feel uncomfortable. Like, I don't like being a hateful person. I'm very much like, I'd rather be kind by default than be a jerk. Like, life is too tumultuous and painful and unpredictable as it is to just live through life being a grumpy pants. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a lot easier just to be at least a kind and considerate person than to not. Like, if you're a jerk every single day, then you gotta fight every single day with every single person that you clash with, and, like, that's, in my opinion, a waste of energy and time. Like, most people aren't worth harboring hatred towards. Because one of my biggest, like, ideas is that love and hate are the same coin. They're just different aspects of obsession. Mm-hmm. Because I've never wrapped my head around somebody who is obsessed with, like, a celebrity or somebody that they don't like, and therefore make it their utmost, like, forefront thought to make that person miserable as hell. It's just like, no, that sounds like you kind of love that person just in a really unhealthy way, because you're going out of your way and putting off your life because you want to make that person miserable. Because, like, that's what my dad did. Like, he went out of his way to make me miserable at times. Mm-hmm. I want this to be an opportunity for people to face their own monsters and to overcome them, hopefully. Because, this originally started out as just a project that I wanted to work on just myself for my own personal benefit. Then I became a resident at the Fishbowl and decided, like, this could be a really cool show. Friday the 13th. I'm missing my best friend's wedding for this show, to throw the show, because it's just like Friday the 13th, that's perfect. October, uncomfortable emotions. It can be scary, because anyone who has taken time to look at their feelings can tell you, like, it's hard. It's terrifying at times. Like, nobody who is struggling with their feelings wants to get up at any point and be like, well, today I'm gonna address my self-loathing habits and try to get this under control so I can be a healthier person. It's hard. Because, self-loathing can manifest in multiple ways. It can be self-destructive habit that is, like, physical, like cutting. It could be bad eating habits where, like, you're binging junk food or just not being kind to yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, I know so many, like, people that struggle with maintaining their environment because of either trauma they've dealt with one way or another, and they blame themselves, so they build walls of trash to protect themselves from other people. But in reality, that's a form of self-harm as well. Like, people are not garbage. Mm-hmm. So people shouldn't be forced to live among garbage, and those that do struggle with it eventually, on their own terms, have to come to the realization that, like, hey, like, I am not a garbage person, regardless of the tragedies and the harm and the problems that were in my life. Like, I don't have to commit to living like this. I can start taking one step at a time, even if it's hard, just 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, whatever you can manage. It starts progress. It's a way to move forward. Because self-loathing is hard to deal with. So is, like, being an empathetic person at times. Like, there has been times in my life where my empathy has bitten me in the butt because I want to be a kind person. I don't want people to have to suffer through the trials, tribulations, and trauma that I've went through. So, like, I do my best to be helpful, to be a guiding light or of some sort, but I've also been taken advantage of, where it's just like I, and that took a while to see, because for the longest time, that's how my mother showed love and respect for others, is to constantly be giving. Like, I'll give you this, I'll give you that. And if you run into somebody who isn't empathetic, who is self-centered, like, they'll bleed you dry, and then once you're a dried up husk, they'll kick you and ask you for more. Mm-hmm. So I really want to just try to get people thinking in a different dynamic when it comes to emotions, because, like, at the end of the day, like, there is no evil emotion, there's no good emotion, it's just an emotion. I did some research into, like, how emotions evolved, and, like, we do feel that, and there's good evidence showing that emotions evolve to help us deal with our environment and how to react, how to, like, form, like, little bundles and communities, because that's what we need to survive. And I feel, especially with the toxic mindset we have in America towards the display of emotions, makes that so much harder, because, like, men can't cry, you can't cry if you've just experienced a tragedy or something like that, there's a limit on grief, and it's just like, that's not realistic. It's not fair, because everybody handles their emotions, their grief, their love, their hate in different ways. I just want to let people know that, like, your actions and how you behave is what determines whether or not what is good and evil. Like, because we all know so many different situations that have been done with the guise of love and well intentions that have been disastrous. That's pretty much it. Like, I want people to let them to know that art can be a great way to start handling uncomfortable emotions.
Mm-hmm. So I love how you're allowing the artist, like, you are prompting them to explore those hidden depths within themselves, and you're going to pull that shadow, that darkness out of them so they can see, and doing the art can help them process it all. Mm-hmm. Have you always used art as a form of, like, alternative therapy, like, your whole life?
A little bit, yeah. Like, I've gotten more into it recently because, like, I want to do better. I want more out of life than the insanity that I have landed in. It's interesting, and also, like, one of the things that I want to let folks know in advance with the show is just, like, you can never know what somebody's intention is with their piece or what the emotion is without asking the artist. Because, like, one of the pieces that I'm going to put in the show, it's a self-portrait, and, it's interesting because, like, a couple people have seen it and been like, ooh, this is kind of creepy. This kind of scares me. It makes me, like, like afraid to go near that. And like, oh, isn't that? I was just like, oh, like I kind of like this because this is like a little serene, creepy forest. Mm-hmm. Like this is the forest that like I wouldn't have a problem strolling through because I know what all the trees are about. And like, yeah. And it was interesting because it's just like my one piece that is up in the fishbowl right now. People have like talked and said some things about, and it's like it's a super intense piece, and it has the word hate written on it in mirror, and very few people know. I'm gonna save this for the day of the show. Like y'all know what manifested yeah. that painting.
Yeah.
But like other people don't, and like I'm just gonna let them assume.
Yeah.
Because their assumptions reflect more them. Because like if you take time to like look close at that piece, you'll see the phrase, I forget, it's like something, something, something reflects blank. But the point is, it's just like who you hate, how you hate, and what you hate is more of a reflection of yourself than the target. Because like especially with what we're seeing going on in this country, it's just like we see a lot of animosity and vitriol being targeted towards the LGBTQ and the trans community, that like the big hole as it is, and it's really sad because like people are doing that deliberately as a distraction from the crisis that are actively happening in this country. But I won't go down that road.
Like, do you think that? Because we were talking about emotions earlier and how people aren't allowed to feel. Mm-hmm. Do you feel, like, think that that is something that's progressively getting worse? Or do you think that we're hitting a point where people are starting to hit that wall where they have to start making decisions that are better?
Whew, that's a good one. I feel we're reaching a wall where we need to collectively start making healthier decisions. Because the pace that we're going isn't healthy for anyone. Like, all the fear, all the constant trauma, the constant fear-mongering is insane. Like, it used to be not it. It's America's never been perfect at all. Like, we've all dealt with our fair share of bullshit growing up. But it's definitely intensifying in the last couple of years because I do feel we're starting to see the end of an era. Like, the old guard is dying out and younger people are saying, it's just like, no, like, what you're doing is wrong. It's toxic. It's hurting all of us and we don't want to stand for it anymore. Because I forget who originally said this quote, but they said the revolution will not be televised. And we're already starting to see that with, like streaming platforms and apps like TikTok and YouTube, where people are broadcasting, like, the things that are going on in their neighborhood or in their part of the world that's not making it to mainstream news. Because also there's so much stuff going on that it's impossible to cover it all, and it's impossible to know it all either. But people are getting tired of being stepped on and being told that you should like this. Mm-hmm.
No one wants to live their life forever suffering. Mm-mm. And for some reason, it's normalized that when you're an adult, like, that's when all the fun's over.
Yeah.
And reality is working and paying bills, and then hoping you have a little window where you can have a break.
Yeah.
But I think that's changing. But I did see, we talked to this girl, I don't care what her name right now, but she mentioned that in Pittsburgh, apparently, that they're trying to push for a 4-day work week for corporate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I'm really a big subscriber to, like, you know, you mentioned the revolution won't be televised.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's because it's, like, a personal revolution
mm-hmm.
that, like, whenever we decide what we want for ourselves, we start to act accordingly, and then, like, whatever powers that be that constrained us, like, whatever we feel is constraining yeah. us, starts to lose its authority. So an example of that is,
excuse me,
is, like, the way you look.
Mm.
So a lot of people felt this in our revolution, where you feel like you have to be a certain way and you have to look a certain way, and then you decide that you are beautiful, and then you realize, like, oh, the only reason why I don't feel beautiful is because of, like, corporations who are trying to sell makeup and beauty products to me.
Oh, yeah.
And then once you, like, realize, like, how beautiful you are, you've had that mini revolution.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, whatever those corporate entities are, whatever society or people or whatever, it magically loses power over you.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's going to be, like a revolution, like, type of thing is like, personal development.
Yeah.
And, like, each person has these, like, aha moments. And then they realize, like another thing that I see a lot of people doing, and it's the idea of, like, being, instead of, like, hustle culture? Like, instead of, like, trying to becoming, like, this millionaire, you just find joy in the present, and you're finding joy in, like, a slower existence.
Oh.
And that's another example of, like, how, like, you can find happiness in, like, just doing what you're doing, and, like, then all of a sudden that doesn't have sway. Like, you're like, I'm not gonna do that job because it's too much. I just want to have a peaceful life, and I'm fine getting paid a little bit less so I can have peace.
Yeah.
And I think that that type of stuff is gonna, like, collectively change the world.
Yeah.
I don't, like, I just feel like that's the energy. And it's something, I like that type of revolution because it's something that can't be controlled. Like, you can't stop people from, like, their inner philosophies, like, morphing and changing. And then when enough people's inner, like, being changes, then it's, like, it changes the world.
It's a domino effect.
Yeah, it's, like, a consciousness evolution. And that's the other, like, we're constantly evolving consciously, even when it doesn't feel like it. So I feel like whatever goes against nature will not be, and nature fixes it one way or the other.
Oh.
And that's why there's, like, all of this discord with things that are against what's natural.
Oh. One of the, to add to what you're saying, one of the crazy things that is currently happening in nature as we speak, and it blows my mind because it both shows the power, wonder, and, like, mysticalness of nature in itself, is, like, plastics and nuclear material, as they currently exist, have not been on the planet long at all. It's been a blink of an eye. Because we have this notion that we think that, like, evolution is something that takes millions and billions of years. But no, we got, like, we've discovered, I forget where, like, plastics we've discovered insects and microorganisms that have found a way to devour plastic. And there's some sort of, like, fungus that's on the, like, elephant foot in Chernobyl. Because they've noticed, like, over the years that the elephant foot has slowly started to shrink. And they realized that it's shrinking because there's some sort of, like fungus or moss. Not sure 100% what it is, that's just eating it.
Wow.
And I'm like, that is cool, but that is also terrifying.
Yeah. Fungi,
like,
are, like, really interesting.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, crazy.
One of the things that I think is just so, like to touch what you're saying about, like, the nature and the universe being connected, is, like, scientists are starting to realize that the underground network system of, like, mycelium, roots, and all sorts of stuff that, like, the plants communicate with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought that was, like, mind-blowing, but that also gives more credence to, like, the old shamans that would, like, and other mystics that would be out in nature and commune with nature. Because one of the things that we've noticed in the last couple centuries, and we're trying to, I think, in some aspects, reach out to native and indigenous people about, like, how to take care of the land. Because, like the what we've been doing is just wreaking havoc. And, like, between the wildfires, the floods, the drastic swings of temperature, it's just, like, it's because, like, nature is out of balance and it's doing what it needs to correct itself regardless of what we try to do. Like, we're along for the ride. Like, I think my biggest criticism on mankind is its assumption to think it can do better than nature.
Yeah.
It's just like, no, We can't.
Yeah, I think too, it's like forgetting that we're a part of nature. Mm-hmm. And so because we're a part of nature, we're going to be adjusted accordingly too. So like that could be reflected in things like fertility, you know, just different things. Like I feel like we end up getting having to adapt naturally too. And then like worst case scenario, we start over. But regardless, like, nature will prevail. And I think the discord is like, people who are trying to, like, fight it and think they're not part of it. Oh. But, like, I like consciousness. I really feel like plant life and animals and, like, you mentioned mycelium. Like, they all have this consciousness that we just don't understand. And I think it's, like, silly how people are like, oh, plants don't. Thing. Or you know what I mean? Like we try to like undermine like other living creatures and like life and say that we are like the supreme whatever. They're not the ones that are destroying the earth. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's a different type of like intelligence and consciousness that.
I always find it interesting how people can just ignore the suffering of anything.
Yeah.
We ignore the suffering of man and of any living being. Mm-hmm. When we're all here for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking about, we just did the taco festival, and where it was at, there were so many lantern bugs. The people, like, we're sitting in our tent, and I'm just casually observing hundreds of people just killing these bugs, laughing about it, smiling about it, because it's something that we're told has to be done, blah, 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 blah.
Well, they're here to stay now.
But seeing it, though, that was shocking to me, because I wasn't.
It's still life.
It's still a life form, and you're seeing the bug trying to get away or not knowing any better yet, but you have all these people, these giants, just stomping away.
I'm definitely glad I'm not a lantern bug because I've squished my fair share. But, like, it sucks because it's just like, they're invasive, but they're here now, so they're existing to the best of their ability. I'm wondering, like, why aren't animals eating them? It's just like, because they don't know what they are either.
Yeah.
Because, like, one of the things that, like, because to be fair, like, I think the lantern bugs are pretty.
Yeah, they are.
It's like big ladybugs.
And I realize that, like, one of the reasons why probably no animals are eating them, because they're new to the area, they don't know what they are, and they have that big red spot. Like, a lot of times, insects and other animals will use bright colors to signify, don't eat me, I'm poisonous. Mm-hmm. Like, so, like, because I don't know whether or not animals can eat them, or if they're, like, I know they're not harmful to us. Like, they're surprisingly easy to catch if you move slow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, trying to, like, step on them, but, like, if you move slow and deliberate, like, you can pick them up. I've picked up a few.
Yeah, they just land on
me. Yeah, they just land. Yeah. Like, there was one that was just with me for who knows how long that day. It was, like, hours.
You know what? People are discovering they like milkweed, but milkweed does not like them. So, like, they're encouraging people to plant milkweed, which is good for attracting butterflies.
Okay.
Because the milkweed is poisonous, but, like, because the lanternflies don't know any better, they lay their eggs on it, and the buggies starts drinking on the sap, and they're like, this is good, until they drop dead.
Oh, that's, like, a cool way to manage.
It is. I'm online, this is off topic, we're totally off topic, but, like, I'm seeing people make all these kinds of different, like, devices and stuff to try to drown these things.
Yeah.
I'm like, it sucks, I don't know.
There's definitely a better way to deal with them, but like it sucks. Like I feel bad for the bugs. Like
I'm sure we'll have a bug spray in like a year.
Like honestly, I think the simplest way would just be using the bugs natural.
Yeah, like planting things that like you know. I think that's like cool.
Yeah.
Is it milk thistle?
I forget. It's whatever milkweed, I think monarchs milkweed. That are attracted to, because monarchs, I think, like, feed on, like, milkweed, and that's, like, poisonous.
Okay. Yeah, it's good to know.
Yeah, put a bunch of that outside.
But speaking of, like, trauma and stuff, this is, like, subtle, but we don't realize how much things can affect us in the future. Mm-hmm. And, like, my interactions today with the outside world, people are now saying stay safe again.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't realize how triggering that was for me until I was like, why are people saying stay safe again? Are we about to be on another pandemic?
I mean,
or is there something like happening?
I kind of like with my two cents, I definitely feel like we're dealing with the tip of the iceberg. Like I've accepted the fact that like the world is preparing me to be able to deal with like insanity, because it's just like, give me a traumatic situation. Like, I can handle that, no doubt. Like, tell me to go shopping for stuff. I'm like, no. don't I don't want to go by myself.
I swear, ever since the pandemic, like, yeah. I have online orders, trying to go into, like, even, like, Walmart is, like, too much now. But, I was going to, aliens, yeah. I was going to be like, let me say something about aliens. Mm-hmm. Nothing's going to matter if aliens come. So live your life.
So I firmly believe that if the aliens that are out there that are able to do galactic travel, they're looking at us and being like, no, that's too much stupid to deal with. Because, I find it funny that, like, collectively the world was just like, so what? Because, like, my attitude has always just been, like, the universe is too fucking vast. Mm. And we ourselves are limited by our own biology, what we can perceive. Like, we've already realized and discovered that, like, dogs, cats, and other animals have, like, senses that we can't. Dogs can hear sounds that we can't. They can pick up smells that we can't. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of stuff outside of the spectrum of our perception that we don't have technology for yet that exists on its own that can sometimes interact with us. Because, like, in my mind, that's what makes sense. Because, like, the perception of reality is so vast, and the perception of reality is going to vary greatly from organism to organism. Like, for instance, we'll take the cat, for instance. The cat has evolved to be 100% effective as a cat. The cat cannot work the can opener, thank God. Because otherwise you'd go into the kitchen and, like, every can you own would be open and the cat be cussing you out about why is there no tuna.
Yeah.
So, like, we have to realize that there's bound to be more out there that we just cannot observe based on our own limitations of biology. Because, like, also, like, we're finding interesting and weird stuff that we can't explain on our own planet. Like, come on now, there's bound to be some weird shit out there in space. Like, but, like, I definitely feel that, like, the aliens that are out there, they're, like, if they are sentient enough, which apparently our government is just like, yeah, it is. It's just like, yeah, they've looked down at us and been like, those motherfuckers can't get along with themselves.
Yeah. They're like, probably like, oh, this is where they're at in their journey. Mm-hmm. We'll see what they do next.
I like the idea of just there's just like some like alien like TV show that's just like life on Earth. That's just like,
it's like the Truman Show.
Yeah, like, see the humans as they do this and this for the third time this season on planet Earth. Like,
yeah. See, I'm on the because they said that it was not exclusively interdimensional beings / aliens, that it was, like, opened the door to, like, all, like, non-human. To all the
mythical creatures.
So I'm like, let's see some fae, like, come out and really, like, cause a ruckus.
Oh, my
word. I'm here for that. Like, I, like, love the myths, too, that they just were, like, we're going away. You guys kind of are really annoying. But
you guys suck. We're out.
Bye. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, they're, you know, they're, it's really interesting when you go into, like, fairy lore and, like, all of the historical accounts of people getting taken or having, like, some sort of, like, fae-like being that is with them and stuff like that. And it's like, how do you just write off mass experiences? That's what it's always mind-blowing to me. Like, you know, imagine all the people who were abducted by aliens who are now like, what?
Oh, man, I can't even imagine the level of frustration that'd be. Like, I'd go, if I was somebody who had, like, been abducted by aliens, went to therapy, who's just like, oh, it's all in your head, and like then get the news announcement, aliens exist, I'd be mad. I'd go back to my therapist and cuss them the fuck out.
Yeah, and then like for them to be like, if you've had experiences, like, you know, tell us or whatever, like, oh, you're not getting anything. I'm not telling you anything. Me and my alien, you know, boyfriend. We're not doing any of that. There's some really crazy, like, stuff that people have experienced. And so, and my philosophy now is, like, if you experience something weird, just let that be. Don't even, you know, sure, if you need to share it with trusted individuals.
Like, I'm 100%, like, somebody who's, like, you can never really discredit somebody's experience.
No,
because, like, Like, just based on the shit I've went through, it's just, like, I believe in being skeptical and also believe in, like mundane before magic. But at the same token, like, after you rule out everything, it's just, like,
what else you got? Observing. I'm, like, I just observe. Like, why do I need to attach anything to it? Like, if I have this weird experience, I'm just, like, let that be. Like, why is it it's like in our nature to try to like rationalize things that inherently scare us. Yeah. But like, if you were asleep and you went to like the astral plane and some weird stuff happened there and you woke up and you're like, oh my god, and it felt real, like, just let that be your experience. Yeah. Like, you don't have to be like, I had this crazy dream, or I had that. Just be like, yeah, that happened to me and that was weird. I don't know what it means. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what it's about, but yeah. That, because like you had mentioned earlier, like, there's so much we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That there's certain things I think are just beyond our comprehension to be able to explain. Like, it reminds me of Nostradamus.
Okay.
And one of the prophecies, he's talking about skyscrapers, but they didn't have skyscrapers whenever he was doing the prophecy. So he's describing them as these big trees that like people are coming in and out of. You know what I mean? Like, he just didn't have the comprehension, like, he didn't knowledge because of the time period. He's doing these, like, prophecies based off of what is, like, around him.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what we're doing when we try to explain certain things that are just, like, way beyond our, you know,
current understanding.
Yeah.
Also, one of the interesting things that, like, I've noticed and other people have noticed is, like, how sometimes, like, fiction so slowly works its way into reality.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, back, like, let's say 200 years ago, when they're like writing about like, oh, we're gonna have devices where we can talk to each other from across the world and see each other's faces, and now we do. Like,
well, what are your thoughts on collective manifesting that?
I think about art and, like, Oracle.
Yeah.
So
yeah, like, what do you, like, prophecy or just the collective manifestation of stuff?
Like, I definitely feel it's a thing and effective, because this is like, I've noticed. Like, and y'all helped me out with this, too, just, like, helping reframe my mindset. Because, like I told this person recently, it's just, like, if your view of a situation is the world is shit, you are going to be in a world of shit, because that is what your view is.
Yeah.
But if your view is, like, okay, each day is different, it's a new opportunity, it's a new chance, or, for instance, like, a collective view that, like, the world, like, because I'm 100% in camp, like, we can make the world a better place if we want to. Like, I'm not going to name names, but I'm super frustrated with certain Christian dogma in the aspect of, like, do I believe in an afterlife? Yes. But the just disregard of this world because you have a better place to go. Like, in the afterlife. Like, I've come across so many people who's like, well, I don't really worry about doing anything because this world is, like, belongs to the devil and my place is in the kingdom. It's just like, okay, that's fine and dandy for you to be checked out. But some of us are still planning to be around for a while. And also... What? Honest.
Some of us are planning to be. That's good for you, bitch, but yeah. Some of us are trying to be here.
Like, how can you say that everything is created by God, but then in the same breath say, well, God's creations don't matter. Like,
this place sucks. The next one's gonna be awesome.
But like, how can it's such a contradictory like mindset, like to say all life is sacred or to say like, you know, God created everything and then just pick and choose what is acceptable. Yeah. Is, like, clearly, like, something's not right here.
Well, 1 + 1 is not equaling 2.
Yeah, like,
yeah, what? 1 + 1 equaling orange.
That's not even a number.
Yeah. Oh, it's funny.
It's like, because, like, I do feel that, like, a lot of our current political fucks, like, have that attitude as well. It's just like, I'm going to be dead and blah, blah, so who cares? Let me get mine and fuck everybody else. Because it is short-sighted, it is toxic, and it is contradictory. We forget that, like, the only reason we exist in such numbers as we do today is because we work together as a collective. We are a communal creature, we are a social creature, we do not do well by ourselves. Like, some of us will be happy to be by ourselves, but, like, that's not the norm. Like, we all desire companionship and community in some aspect, regardless of what that looks like. And it's, I just ran on a tangent, but, like, we exist and we are here today because our ancestors and our ancestors' ancestors realized that it does so much better to make sure the community and the collective is doing well versus just making sure, like, a few people are doing great. Because, like, I'm very much in the attitude now that, like, housing, healthcare, and food, water, and land, like, that needs to just be universal. Everybody gets a little chunk that they can have their own, so they can have their own little ability to exist. Because, like, the attitude that there's not enough to go around is bullshit. Like, if there wasn't enough to go around, there wouldn't be as many of us fuckers as there are.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's, like, that concept of, like, nature again.
Yeah.
Okay, so I like what you said earlier about how, like, changing your mindset really does affect your reality, because it does. And, like, you were talking off the recording, and you were talking about...
Yeah. Like, how, like, chit-chatting with y'all and, like, listening to y'all, like, really helped, like, me start thinking in a different way and changing my mindset, because, like, starting small is key and helps, because, like, a lot of the trouble is, like, adopting other people's views on your personal life versus trying to adopt something that's healthier for yourself. Like, I started simple with, like, told myself I'm not allowed to call myself stupid, I'm not allowed to bemean myself in my inner monologue, and little bit by little bit I started noting other changes in my life, because, like, kicking yourself when you're down doesn't help, and if that's your internal thought, you're going to be stuck, because you're going to attract people that are okay with, like, putting you down. You're going to allow people to be cruel to you. And it is so important to have a healthy, like, mindset of, like, acknowledging that, like, okay, things may be difficult, but I always have the option to do better tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a game changer.
I love that. I do. Because not only, like, every day is a new day, but we're allowed to sit in that weird energy, and then make the choice to decide, start making those small changes.
Oh, yeah.
And eventually it adds up. And then you are in a new reality, or you do see things differently, and you are going to start, like, people will start pursuing other things that are in alignment with who you are. But I love that, because, like, I feel like also with, like, a whole law of attraction and blah, 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 that people and toxic positivity that we do just go the other direction, like, you know, fuck it. Like, I don't need to worry about how I'm speaking to myself or how I'm treating other people, when all that energy comes back to us eventually.
Oh, yeah.
And we align with certain things if we want to.
Mm-hmm.
So I really love that, because it does matter. And it's hard when we are down and we are feeling at our lowest, it's hard to see, you know, see the sky when we can't see above the tree line.
Oh yeah, it's if you don't have glimmers of hope and glimmers of joy and people as well as your own internal dialogue, like being aimed more towards a healthier view, then it's hard to break out of that cycle, because then you yourself can't see what you are doing to invite trouble. Because, like, just for instance, not allowing myself to be mean to myself and call myself names and bully me, it's like I don't let other people, like, I stop letting my close family members like be just blatantly cruel, because, like, my attitude with criticism is this: like, somebody who is giving you justifiable criticism to help you grow is not trying to be malicious, because everybody fucks up, and that's okay. Like, it's okay to fuck up in the moment, feel crummy about it, as long as you're willing to, like, okay, like, I feel like this because X, Y, and Z, and now I'm in a position to learn from not only my emotions, learn from the experience, and find a avenue to grow in a healthier manner at. Because, like you said, like, toxic positivity is a thing. Like, if you're struggling in, say, for instance, a financial situation, it doesn't help if you're, like, party all the time. You can still be a positive person and acknowledge hard situations in a healthy way. And, like, it's hard, but it's possible. Like, take the insanity that happened down the street from my house. It's just, like, I can at least now say, it's just, like, look, like, there's a formula to do if you do hear this type of excitement. I'll leave out the details. But also, you have the reference of knowing, like, okay, even the most extreme and scary situation is going to end at some point. Like, being present is important. Being able to find a way to move forward healthily, and sometimes you just have to be in a moment and just sit until the there's a chance to move forward. Because, like, if you're stuck in a situation where, say, your housing is tumultuous, like, you do have to focus energy at time to get that in order so you can have a foundation and grow from then on. But, like, if you're constantly in your head, like, woe is me, my life is shit, I suck, everybody hates me, then that's going to bring the roof down on you, because you're going to just allow any situation to be good enough, and you're going to not only treat yourself like crap, you're going to let people treat you as crap as well. Like, one of the biggest things that I've loved about our relationship over the years is, like, we have our banter, we pick on each other, but we've never been that mean girls. Mm-mm. Like, no. Like, shit that gets pushed in culture. Because, like, there's just no point to it. And it's not healthy, it's not fun, and it's no way to grow as an individual and have meaningful relationships. It's so crazy how common, because I've noticed this, not with a lot of women, but I have noticed this, it's with some, like, that, like, I'm going to compliment you, but it's going to be an insult.
Backhanded. Shit. Yeah.
It's just like, for instance, my favorite one. It's like, oh, but you look so good for your weight, though. Ugh. I'm like, no, I look good, period.
Yeah.
You look good for your age.
Yeah.
Grinds my gears, especially because we're not older. Mm-hmm. But even if I was older, that still pissed me off. What's that supposed to mean?
Yeah, what does, like, that mean? Yeah.
Just because I'm old doesn't mean I have to look like a raisin.
Or just, like, the beauty is just, like, as you age, like, you still are beautiful, you know? It's like a life, like, I don't know.
Man. Well, our society and culture is so anti-nature. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, the idea of aging is like taboo. You gotta look 18 forever. And that's unrealistic. That's not fair to anyone. Because, like, you're right. Like, you're beautiful regardless of your age, your nationality, your gender, and so forth and so on. Like, my thing that, like, I've gotten into recently in regards to people, like, especially when it comes to aesthetic, instead of saying somebody's beautiful or ugly, I just say whether or not they're to my palate. Because, like, it's, everybody's different, and that's okay. Like, if somebody's not to your taste, that doesn't mean they're ugly. It just means they're not to your taste. Like, I've seen some beautiful big guys, but, like, big men aren't, like, my jam. Like, and that's okay. Like, that doesn't make them any less beautiful.
You talk to Dan, and that's, like, his epitome of beauty.
And, like, that's the thing. Like, I think Dan is like, aesthetically astounding.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, a lot of people do, I feel like.
Dan, if you listen to this, Sheila thinks that you're aesthetically astounding, and we also agree.
Yeah. But it's just, like, in regards to, like, what I go after for my own, like, carnal preference and relationship preference, like, that's a different bag entirely. Like, what I lust for, what I love, what I'm interested, what I find attractive is going to be a unique type of beauty that's based on my preference. So it's just like, yeah, I've just got the habit. It's just like, if somebody's not, like, if I'm not into somebody, it's just like, hey, you're not my vibe, you're not my flavor. That way it's not like, oh, I'm ugly. It's just like, no, it's not. Like, you just aren't what I'm into.
Yeah. I like that approach better than just telling somebody, like, kick rocks.
Kick rock. Tell them kick rocks if they don't accept the polite no.
If they don't accept the politeness.
But yeah, oftentimes I feel like people don't like, I don't know how to phrase this. Like, we're told how to live in every form, and that doesn't leave out beauty. And, like, we're told what should be beautiful and what we should think is beautiful, kind of. Mm-hmm. So then I think sometimes when there's hostility, it's because somebody doesn't find that attractive, you know, but they feel like, but they're upset that they feel like they should, you know, like it's, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Like, it's okay either way. Like, everybody's beautiful.
Oh, like, one of the things that, one of the malicious things that was said to me by a family member, and, like, I didn't respond as if I would have, like, if they were somebody that was just on the street. But, like, she, like, flat out said, it was just, like, you would be so much prettier if you didn't have all those tattoos. Mm-hmm. And I'm, like, thinking to myself, it's just, like, good thing I'm not, like, getting tattooed for your approval.
Yeah.
Back when I had a bunch of piercings in my face, somebody said that to me, that I would be prettier without the piercings.
It's just, like, that's when you just look at it, it's just, like, you'd be prettier if you kept that comment to yourself.
Maybe I don't want you to think I'm pretty.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not my target demographic.
Yeah. I think that's just, like, 100% the thing. It's just, like, I look like this, and you look like how you look because you want to attract what is attracted to you.
I'm not trying to appeal to your aesthetic.
Yeah.
I'm trying to appeal to that hottie with the body over there that sees me and says, yes, alternative queen, what's up? That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Like, one of my things is, like, I'm looking forward to, like, getting a little bit more muscular, like, especially now that I'm not in as pain like I used to be. I can be more, like, mobile. Like, I took myself on a little walk around the block. I was happy. And, like, I like the muscle mommy look for myself, but, like, for me, it, like, I've noticed there's few muscle mommies that I'm attracted to. Like, I tend to like a wide variety of, like, women in all different shapes and sizes, because, like, sometimes I love me a thick queen. I just want to fucking, like, hug her and just be, like, cuddled and just be like, oh, I'm gonna get squished. Because it's nice.
I'm gonna get squished.
And, like, same way with, like, a nice, hot-bodied, like, guy, it's just like, oh, man, I'm gonna get squished in a different way. Like, it's like, either way, squishing's gonna happen, and I'm gonna fucking enjoy it. And it's, like, it's okay. Like, definitely our society is too fucking, like, restrictive of what people can enjoy. Because, like, you're right. We are told, like, you have to like this, you have to like that. Like, growing up, like, we probably heard this constantly, like, oh, like, you don't act like a black person, or you don't look like you're black, or you don't look like this. It's just like, there's different shades of people, motherfucker.
Yeah. Like, people look at me and probably think I'm Puerto Rican. Like,
no. I usually get the, what are you? It makes me so mad. Like I'm annoyed. That's what I am. Like, I'm the all-American mutt, like, Heinz 57. Like, I got my genetics, like, done, like, a couple years ago. I remembered it for a whole month.
Yeah.
And then forgot.
Yeah.
But, like, it's stupid. It's just, like, let people enjoy themselves, the beauty that they have, the beauty within their culture without being judgmental. Because, like, we've been so bludgeoned with the standard, like, you have to fall into the standard American, which is heavily European, center of beauty. Like, one of the reasons, I learned this years after the fact, that my mom always straightened her hair because, like, black hair, as it was natural, was deemed unprofessional, not pretty, unkept, and all these negatives. And a lot of, like, I know my mother in particularly, like, she didn't really learn how to manage black hair. So she would always get her hair flat iron. Like, she used to, for years, every 2 weeks, go get it professionally flat iron.
Yeah.
So she could be acceptable for societal standards.
Yeah.
And, like, black hair is beautiful in all its forms, regardless of, like, how the individual wants to rock it. But it should be up to the individual what kind of style they want.
Mm-hmm.
Not the bullshit that we're being forced to swallow as, like, the only option.
Yeah. But I think, like we talked about earlier, like, we are in a time where there are no rules anymore.
Yeah, things are changing.
There is not just a solid beauty standard. There is not just a solid way to be, because everybody is, you know, not everybody, but a lot of people are rebelling against that.
Yeah.
No one wants to work crazy hours and be miserable. No one wants to be miserable at all. Yeah. So we're going to start seeing the changes on individual levels, and that's how we start to improve. But
like, definitely, because of the pandemic, a lot of people had the, like, fuck it aspect with, like, being treated like garbage at work.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, life's too short. You could be out any minute, any day. Like, fucking try to be happy. Try to have a fulfilling life. Like, one of my biggest frustrations, like, when I, like, before I became disabled, like, was just the constant, like, 40 plus hour work grind and being too tired to have fun with friends, or, like, not being able to go to different events because I was working and couldn't get time off, not being able to go to doctor's appointments because I couldn't schedule off. Like,
yeah.
I blew off knee surgery for multiple years because I couldn't afford the time off to heal. And, like, that's a problem here in this country where it's just, like, if you have a standard job and need any type of downtime to heal or recover, be it physical or mental, it's just, like, you're lucky if you get 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's awful. Like you said, like, no one wants to be miserable. Sometimes people get stuck in misery because they're afraid of change. But no one wants to be miserable, and, like, the way society is currently, it's grinding us to dust. They're trying to reduce us to machines.
That's why we need the chaos gods.
And that's why we see nature fixes everything.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Oh.
So, there's only so far people can be pushed, but we are quite deep in this.
Yeah.
Wanted to touch about the luck draw.
Yes. So back to, like, how mindset and vibration can change things. Like, obviously we're all into magic, and if you're online all the time, like, you see people, like, doing, like, the sour jars and hex jars. But what if you use your energy for good stuff to come to your reality?
Mm-hmm.
What if you use your energy for manifesting a better life for yourself? Not extreme wealth, not, you know, the mansion and the husband and stuff, but what if you manifest just, like, to have fun? And we're gonna talk about your luck jar.
Yeah. Like, I I forget when I started my luck journal, now that I think about it. I started it a while ago. And, like I've definitely been noticing, like, more lucky yeah. in my life situations. Cause, like, I also do feel that I'm divinely blessed and protected, and that also helps as well. But, like, it also helps with priming your mentality with, and changing your, viewpoint. Like, that luck jar is helping you bring in, goodness, bring in wealth, bring in joy. Like, one of the things that, like, I've been doing with my luck jar, I throw in components that make sense for it, because, like, originally my luck jar started out as a means to bring in income, and I started adding things like I wish to manifest serenity, I wish to manifest joy, I wish to manifest health, I wish to manifest that for those around me and those that I love. Because, like, that's what matters. Like, have I dabbled in not-so-pleasant work? Yes. But, like, I personally, like, I'm very much like, do no harm, but take no shit. Like, as soon as you piss in my coffee, that's when I'm throwing it and the cup at your face. Like, I feel that if that is a course that you're going to take, let it be for legitimate reasons. Not like, oh, some Bob Joe cut me off in traffic. Let it be for, like, somebody who's gone out their way to wreak havoc in your life. Because, unfortunately, those people do exist. And, like, surround yourself with things to protect you from that. Because, like, I'll touch with this for a little bit, and then we can start wrapping things up. Like, one of the things that I didn't realize until I was chit-chatting with y'all was, like, I didn't realize that other people didn't have different shapes for their aura, for mm-hmm. their own uses, because it's just, like, my aura, in my mind, in my shields, change shape based on what I need to do or what I'm doing, like,
yeah.
And, like, I've been doing this intuitively since I was a child.
Yeah.
So, like, if I need to, like, I open, like, ports to invite certain things and get, so picture a sea anemone.
Mm-hmm.
How it has its stinging cells, but it also has its little grabbers for the thing it wants, and when the clownfish comes along, the clownfish knows, oh, I can be buddies with this and hang around and also protect it. So, like, I kind of, like, view it more as, like, a sea anemone, where it, like, it filters and grabs the pieces that are healthy and brings them to me, and stings the shit out of everything that I do not want around.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, definitely, I've been noticing a lot of, like, benefits. Like, because, like, one of the things is, like, right now where I'm living, it's not too much more expensive than the place I was before. I have more space, and it's walking distance from a graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of nice. And I was safe during the insanity as well, so
yeah.
That helps.
Yeah.
But, like,
luck jar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I'm not going to tell people how to do it. They can figure that out for themselves.
So do you have to maintain it the way you do a money jar?
I believe so. Like, okay. I'm not the 100% best with it because, like, I do try to use it daily with my candle work, but if things are too chaotic and I can't address it the way I want to, it's just, like, it's still in effect, it's just at a lower impulse and vibe.
Yeah, I'm willy-nilly with my money thing, but, like you said, it's out here.
But definitely, like, I've had luck, because, like, facts, like, my life has just always been a weird circumstance of coincidence, because, like, facts, like, if y'all hadn't been around and seen half the shit that I've lived through, like, facts, it would sound like bullshit.
Mm.
Like,
yeah, having your residence on the news is
like a week after moving in. We joke, like, my life's British comedy, but your life is, like, a New Zealand comedy. It's, like, these quirky moments.
You're gonna offend our New Zealand listeners.
Oh yeah, no, okay. No offense to anybody who are of any, you know, British or New Zealand. I love your comedy style. I'm a huge fan of British everything, pretty much, yeah.
Just take it with a grain of salt.
Grain of salt. And New Zealand comedy, for that matter. That's why I can make references. Unique, like, but there's a unique flavor for every comedy style. Mm-hmm. And there's just certain types of trends that occur in these comedy shows. And our lives sometimes have those types of moments. Just like I like joke about like SNL skit moments. It's like that's...
Yeah.
It happens.
But you call me Larry David.
Yeah.
To be fair.
Oh, God. you and Sean, yes. Larry David, for sure. For sure, but mine's definitely a quirky British comedy. Yours is 100%.
Like,
because these random things happen.
I know, and it's just like the shit don't even be involving me. I just happen to be around. I'm like, what the fuck?
We should watch Wellington Paranormal.
Yeah, we're here.
And you'll see what we mean. But I think on this light note, we should close it up. So, is there anything you want to tell the listeners before we end the show?
Yes. Can one of you pull up the address for the fishbowl, please? I don't know it off the top of my head. This Friday the 13th. Come down to the Red Fishbowl at 4327 Butler Street. It is upstairs. You have to go upstairs. Pittsburgh,
don't go
PA.
Down the stairs.
Yeah, don't go down the stairs. PA. 15201. Come to the Red Fishbowl this Friday the 13th. Prepare to be unsettled. Well, a group of local artists, both residents and non, will deal with monstrous emotions this Friday the 13th in October.
Yay.
My little thunders.
I should look for some thunder. So.
Yeah, you should. But it's something.
I kind of like my little
thunder.
Also, on the 22nd, we're doing our second Freaky Friday movie night. And come check us out. I'm in Culta Inc. on Instagram, Twitter. I'm Anon and Culta on Facebook, but like I'm working on getting a website going sooner or later, and definitely come check out the Fishbowl, like where we do art.
Yeah.
Well, all that link down below, and the dates listed out for everything that Sheila just mentioned.
You're gonna be in the show.
Yeah, I'll
too.
Be in the show.
Yeah, Edda's gonna have a piece in Sheila's show as well. And we'll be there hanging out. So come down. Yeah, I'll be on the calendar too, but come down, say hi, catch a vibe.
Be good or be warned.
There you go.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I need to hear. All
right.
Yeah.
Bye guys.